Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road up in Indy handling some business for the NFL Combine. He'll be back on the show tomorrow, so looking forward to that. But Adam Vingan in with us here today. Show going by very quickly. Lots of Predators news over the weekend to get to. We've discussed a lot of it already so far today. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm recovering.
Yeah, me too. It's been a wild weekend, no question about it. Well, Corey, you were fortunate. I was fortunate enough to join you last night.
No, I was fortunate enough. Rob,
you're right. I was trying to be modest, but
I was just lucky.
You know, just really lucky, lucky that I graced you with my presence last night. What do you make of what has all gone on and transpired with the Predators this weekend? And we'll get to the trade part of it here in just a second. But just starting with the Poile and Trotz news, with Poile stepping aside as general manager this summer and Trotz taking over. Obviously, you've been around this team for a long time. Yeah. You know what Barry Trotz means to this market. What do you make of this move by the Predators?
Well, look, we knew David retiring was inevitable at some point. You know, whether this was all his idea or it was a mutual parting or the team encouraged him, I don't know. Maybe Adam has more thoughts on that. But, I mean, he is 73 years old. He's been at it for 40 years. He's been at it here for 25-plus. It's kind of time. So that's not so surprising. I think the timing of it is surprising to announce it right before the trade deadline. You know, and that whole thing of, well, if he's not going to be the one rebuilding it, you know, why is he the one kind of tearing it down? But it sounds like he and Barry are working hand in hand kind of in it. So it sounds like it's kind of a co-op at this point, which I guess sounds smart to me. I think, you know, as I think about it, one of the things I do like is, by having his replacement ready to go, you avoid all the speculation, and I know there would have been a lot of angst about a possible promotion from within from people, and that would have been a nonstop story until it was no longer a story one way or another. So I think they avoided some unnecessary publicity and turmoil by kind of nipping everything in the bud and just in making a decision like immediately. And I think, you know, we'll see if it's positive or not, but I think from a PR front, it's certainly a positive.
Well, Corey, you know, the Trotz part of this is really interesting to me because, I mean, look, obviously, and we talked about this last night on News 2. I mean, there's the head coaching record speaks for itself. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame level head coach. He's, you know, a top five coach wins wise in the history of the league. And now you're stepping into a general manager role, which is something he hasn't done before. And he's not been in the front office part of this before. So how intrigued are you to see, number one, I guess how he does in this job, and number two, what his approach to being a general manager is for the Predators?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because, you know, I said to you, I said, Rob, I don't think he's got any experience in personnel at all. You know, but here's the bottom line if you're the Predators and the way you spin this or sell this or justify it, however you want to put it. Good people do good work, and you know Barry Trotz is good people. He's a good man. He was a very good coach, and you know those type of people tend to be able to go from one job to the next and be good at them. And that's the way you can look at it. You know, and I think maybe one of the other differences as well is he's not buying the groceries for himself.
Yeah.
He's buying him for another coach. I think when you have coach GM, it can be more problematic than GM coach. I mean, or just GM and just GM coach. So I think I think that settles some of it for me. But yeah, it's interesting. And you know, I think PR wise, you know, again, obviously he's going to be a really popular choice. He's meant a lot to this market. I know this market means a lot to him, and I think you know that. That means something to people here.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And I agree with you, Corey, with your first point about the timing. That's one of the first things I said when we got on the air this morning, that you know, the timing was interesting to me to make this decision. Like, why now? It really feels as if, though, I called it, and this is probably not the right word, I called it a distraction in the sense of, like, things aren't going well for the team. They're selling at the deadline for the first time in 9 years. They're going to probably miss the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. They're avoiding the next month and a half of people yelling about David Poile and wanting him run out of town on the rail. So I think it was a coordinated decision by the Predators to do this now, and it probably was a smart decision. But let's talk about the other moves that were made this weekend. We'll speak specifically about Tanner Jeannot, because I think the reaction to the Nino Niederreiter deal, which was a second-round draft pick, I think Predators fans were underwhelmed by that return. Robbie and I don't quite understand that feeling, but there were certainly some feelings of that. But when I saw the press release of Tanner Jeannot and what the Predators got for him, I thought I was being punked. I thought it was someone playing a trick on me. Now, what do you make of the Predators turning an undrafted forward who was in the ECHL 2 years ago, who played 150 games for the franchise, into six assets, including five draft picks?
And also, you know, in a down year. After
yes,
a career
that too.
Year. I mean, there's so much that makes it a staggering haul that, you know, remember how, like, David was on Jared, you know, I know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of getting that all over again. Like, Tampa knows something we don't know. But, you know, it's a staggering haul. Now, look, the first round picks not for 2 years, but, you know, Tampa's awesome, and maybe they stink in 2 years. So maybe that winds up being a better move. But I know, isn't it like top 10 protected?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think it also goes to show you how much David didn't want to let him go. That, you know, he hung on to this deal until all this got put in front of him, and I agree. You know, at some point you just, you know, all right. I mean, you know, first, second, third. I mean, you would hope there's two starters at least in that mix of what you're bringing in, and it also gives you the ability to maneuver in the draft. I mean, I think that, you know, what do they have, 3 second rounders coming up?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to move up, you know, you've got ammunition to move up and get somebody. Or if there is a star player who's available now out there and a team needs to get under the cap, you've got the draft capital to make that deal and bring that player in. So I love what it does for them as far as their ability to maneuver free agency in the draft. It's from a return aspect, I have to think it's the most incredible haul the Preds have ever gotten. I can't remember anything like this.
Yeah. So to recap, so this coming draft, the one in Nashville, the Predators have one pick each in the first and second rounds, 3 picks in the third round, 3 picks in the fourth round. In 2024, they have 3 picks in the second round. There's Tampa's and Winnipeg's from the Niederreiter deals. Yeah. But yes, 3 picks in the third and fourth rounds at the draft this year. Yeah. That's not nothing.
They gained a lot of assets over that time, no question about it. So, Corey, as we wrap this up here, With everything that's happened, with the selling of the assets this weekend, we'll see what takes place until Friday when the deadline rolls around, with the Poile and Trotz news. What does all this signal to you about the Predators and the direction that they're headed, and how do you think the Predators fan base feels today based on the moves made this weekend?
Well, look, I think some people are never going to be happy. That's number one. Let's be clear on that. But, you know, on the ice, guys, they've won 4 of 5 and have scored 24 goals in those 4 wins.
They have.
So on the ice, it hasn't been real bad lately. Obviously, the Boston game was terrible, but the rest has been pretty good. I think that's putting, you know, lipstick on what hasn't been a great year. But that's kind of just where it is. So I think, like I said, you know, with your ability to maneuver free agency in the draft, you have to feel better about the ability to do it. And you've just got to have faith that Barry Trotz is the guy to lead them through those decisions. Because, you know, he's going to have some big ones to make here as they move forward in what they want to do. And I still think, you know, look, these two guys who've been traded, they weren't core pieces. They were periphery pieces. So the core is still intact, and there are some core guys who could go. So how Pred fans are feeling could change even more based on what happens. Because you could all of a sudden have a team with a ton of cap space and a ton of picks. And, you know, that could be exciting. That could be exciting to think about what you could do. And with the possibility of retooling kind of quickly, you know, while you pull in draft picks. So, you know, like, if you're not going to win the Stanley Cup, you know, you need to have some hope for the future. And I think for a lot of fans, this starts to give them a little bit more hope for the future. We'll see.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, good stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You know, I promised everyone last night we would talk about Aaron Rodgers escaping the slumber of his 4-day darkness retreat. Are you feeling better, you know, after he came out of 4 days of, you know, beer and pizza in the dark?
I'm feeling better that he probably won't be a member of the Packers next year.
Really? You think he's gone?
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Has he spoken about it since he came out the darkness?
He's not. I don't even know if he's been sighted by another human since he came out of the darkness.
Are we going to see blurry pictures of him like Bigfoot on National Enquirer?
We might have to. We'll see.
The Patterson video. Yes. The LaFleur video.
Yes.
Look, I don't understand, you know, if you're another team, how does any of this make him look more attractive to you?
I don't know,
man. It just makes him look weirder, like more of an individual and more removed from reality and any kind of normal. I mean, you've seen in Denver what happens when you have a quarterback who kind of removes himself from everybody. Didn't go real well. And, you know, you could argue, like I've said with Aaron Rodgers, you know, the fact that he's got one Super Bowl ring is a crime. It's a crime. And he deserves a good dose of the blame for that, you know, because he hasn't always delivered in the playoffs. And I think his leadership style, which is weird, is part of it.
Well, maybe he worked on that in the dark.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he found himself. He's going to come out Douglas MacArthur and storm the beaches.
That's right. Corey, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Corey.
All right.
Bye. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators. A big weekend for the Predators. Barry Trotz will be the second general manager in franchise history. David Poile announcing his retirement. A press conference coming up later today. David Poile will be general manager effectively through June the 30th, and then Barry Trotz takes over on July the 1st. And they've also traded Nino Niederreiter and Tanner Janot over the weekend as well. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment, taking your thoughts on the Preds. A wild weekend for the Preds. They trade Nino Niederreiter on Saturday. Yesterday, it's announced that David Poile is retiring and will be stepping aside as general manager. Barry Trotz taking over this summer as the second general manager in franchise history. And then late last night, Tanner Janot traded from the Predators to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Predators get back 5 draft picks and a defenseman in Cal Foote. So quite the return for the Predators last night. Taking your thoughts on all of it, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate, who wants to weigh in. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. Since we don't get to hear, we've heard Zinga a lot the past, you know, week and day.
But sorry about that.
As always, Megan, it's great to hear from you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So do we think, my wife was concerned about the hiring of a new GM in the aspect of how the organization really cares about the family aspect inside the organization of the players and the coaches and everything. Do we think this family aspect was any part of hiring Trotz?
What do you mean by family aspect?
So it seems like, you know, we have heard about Poyle's wife and Peter LaViolette's wife being really active around the community, making sure the families are okay, especially when the players and coaches are on the road. As far as me and my wife are concerned, I haven't heard anything specific about Hines, wife being, I guess, more involved with all the families and the organization and everything. Does that explain it a little better? Or?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Nate. I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with the hiring of Barry Trotz.
I guess in the familial sense that Barry Trotz is a member of the Predators family.
Sure, yeah.
Yes, but like, you know, I'm not sure if there is an issue with, you know, the, you know, John Hines and his family's place in that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just the Trotz part of this that makes it intriguing. I mean, obviously, he's been here for a long time. He was around here for a long time, and I know it was in a head coaching role. But when you're in one spot for that long and you make the impact that Barry Trotz made, there's a natural connection that comes with that. And David Poyle was there then. He was still here now. So there's a lot of that part of it that makes sense. I mean, look, we've seen some Predators fans both yesterday and we've heard from some today that say, look, I love Barry Trotz, but I am concerned that he's never been a general manager before and has never been in a front office before, and I don't know how good he's going to be at this. Like, I think that's a fair concern.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair question. I don't know how good Barry Trotz is going to be at this. Now, there are things that I know about Barry Trotz, having been around him for a long time and just, you know, having some common sense and watching him in the hockey world. He's obviously a really smart guy. And he's been around this game for a long time, and he knows what it takes to coach these players at a high level, and he's been involved in enough personnel discussions where he at least has some baseline of what he's doing here. So it's not like Barry Trotz is coming in here and just has no idea what he's doing, but I understand the concern if you're a Predators fan of, look, I love Barry Trotz, love everything he means to the organization, all these things. I have my concerns about what that's going to mean is for him as a general manager. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and to your point, he has been a coach. He has not been a general manager, but as you said, when teams make personnel decisions, when they make trades or free agent signings or draft picks, the coach is involved in those conversations. So whether it was here or in Washington or in New York, Barry has been a part of these conversations. Now, is he the one offering the contract? Is he the one negotiating with agents or other general managers? Not necessarily, but he has seen and done it all in hockey. You know, there have been general managers lately who don't necessarily, you know, have that experience. I mean, I look in San Jose, for example, Mike Greer, their general manager, I believe had zero managerial experience before being hired by the Sharks. I think he was an assistant coach.
Yep.
Before he was hired by the Sharks. And, you know, some GMs, you know, work, you know, come up through the ranks. They're scouts, then they're assistants, then they're regular, you know, then they're full-on GMs. But, you know, if I were tapping a person with zero managerial experience to give it a shot, you know, Barry Trotz would be one of the first people I would think of. I mean, he's been involved in the game for so long. You know, he's going to have to learn how to deal with certain aspects of the job, but I don't think he's coming in completely blind.
No, I don't either. And look, I think I said this earlier, but I think it's one of the most intriguing parts about this is what is his approach to this? Because we all know what spot the Predators are in right now with their roster. We've talked about it ad nauseum the past year, basically, is where they're at with their roster right now and what that means moving forward. We know that. I think the Predators, based on the moves they've made this weekend, have known that and have now made that realization that that's going to be what it is. What does that mean for the Predators in terms of Barry Trotz's approach to it and the way that he views this job and the different ideas that he has. Like, I know based on the reaction that we saw so far on the show today and that I saw yesterday on Twitter, a lot of people are like, oh, well, the Predators are going in-house. Like, they're hiring their own guy. And to a certain degree, yes, they are. Like, Barry Trotz was here for a long time. He also was gone the last 9 years. Like, he's been gone for a while now. And I do wonder, with him being in Washington, winning a Stanley Cup, and being with Lou Lamoriello in New York with the Islanders, what are the experiences that he's gained from that he's gonna bring here that's different than what he left with the first time around here in Nashville? Like, I went back and I watched some of his final press conference here in Nashville yesterday, just because, I mean, it was 9 years ago. It's the spring of 2014 when Barry Trotz was fired here. He moved on to be the coach in Washington. Peter Laviolette was hired. And even back then, I knew that one day this was a possibility of him coming back with the Predators and joining the front office. Whether that was in a general manager role or an assistant GM role or a scouting role, whatever it was going to be, I knew that that was a possibility, borderline a probability, one day. And now it's here, and he's the general manager. What is his approach going to be? I think it's a way more fascinating question than those who think that, oh, it's just Barry Trotz, and he's the same Predators guy, and it's going to be the same old, same old. I don't know that I buy that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I wasn't here at the time, but wasn't Barry offered a front office position when he was let go as coach?
He was.
So, yeah, it just feels like it did feel sort of inevitable that this is where we would eventually end up. And these are good questions that many people will be asking at the news conference at 11 a.m., which you can hear here on 102.5 The Game. So please tune in for that. I will be interested to hear what Barry has to say in that regard. You know, what has he learned over the past 9 years working for two different organizations and working with Lou Lamoriello, who, like David Poile, has been in this game for a very long time and been successful. I do think that there are aspects of those experiences that Barry is going to pull from in this situation. So, no, I think that is probably the most pressing question for me is how have the past 9 years away from Nashville, working for Washington and New York, you know, shaped how he views his role as general manager and what aspects he might change that maybe David did or didn't do during his time here.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Predators on our phone and text line. 615-737-1025. A very busy weekend for the Nashville Predators. We'll continue to react to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Nick Kieser here with us now. Nick stepping in for Michelle. Michelle going down to Bridgestone Arena as Chase and Michelle will be live from Bridgestone Arena coming up from 9 to 11. So looking forward to that. Nick, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
The reporter is back.
I'm just super, so clean.
And now we have Adam Vingan rapping. What a moment here on the program.
Great Outkast song.
Very good.
So fresh, so clean.
Very nicely done. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kevin, who wants to weigh in. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey guys, thanks so much for taking my call. Just want to start out by saying you, Joe and Robbie, don't need my affirmation from this average Joe here, but I just want to say I know they got a lot of criticism on Twitter this weekend from their comments about the Nino trade, but I think just overall we got a haul for the moves that we made this weekend. We should not have gotten those picks and what we did get for Nino and for Tanner, but I think those were great moves. And I just want to end by just saying I think this is how we start a rebuild. And although I hate to see those guys go, I'm just really glad to see that the team has finally just ripped the Band-Aid off and started making moves to hopefully become better in the years to come. I know it's going to take a while, but I'm hoping this is the start of maybe something better to come. So, hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. I mean, that's – Adam, honestly, that's been a pretty popular sentiment today in terms of a lot of – I think relief is a word that I'll see on the text line, not just from the Trotz thing, but from the idea of it feels like the Predators are finally buying into what a lot of fans have been wanting for a while, which is recognize what you are and act accordingly and start to sell off some pieces and give yourself some hope moving forward and create some assets for yourself. And the Predators have started to do that this weekend. So, I mean, to Kevin's point there, we've gotten a lot of texts today on the text line. Keep them coming, 615-737-1025. But a lot have echoed kind of that same sentiment of really glad to see the Predators do what they did this weekend. Beyond just the Poile and Trot stuff, it's the selling off assets, getting draft picks back, looking ahead to the future. A lot of Predators fans have been clamoring for this for a while. And this weekend, they started to see it from the Predators.
Yeah, and that has been, as the caller, as Kevin just said, I mean, that has been the prevailing sentiment on the phones and on the text line so far during the show, is Predators fans, for the first time in 4 or 5 years, feel like this team has a stated direction. And I know we joked about, quote-unquote, the plan earlier this show, which is if you ever want to trigger Willie Donick, just mention the plan in any setting. Out to dinner, taking a walk, just say, "Hey Willie, how's the plan going?" Yep. That'll get him going. Anyway, you know, the Predators plan, this, you know, the competitive transition or whatever you would like to call it, it felt like a half measure. It felt like, yeah, we know we're probably not going to win the Stanley Cup, but we're going to still try anyway. And, you know, an argument could be made that if you're not a team at the top of the league, you should probably be looking to rebuild. Like, if you're not, at this point, Boston, Carolina, New Jersey, you know, whomever, Tampa, like, you should probably be looking to the future. If you don't think you can legitimately win a Stanley Cup, even, like, and I'm not just talking about the bad teams. I'm not talking about your Chicago's and Arizona's. I'm talking about, like, teams in the middle, like Nashville, like Calgary, like Edmonton. Like, I mean, it's harder to do in Edmonton, but Calgary, Nashville, and, you know, Washington, you know, teams like that. If you're not close to winning a Stanley Cup, then, like, why aren't you trying to get yourself there instead of hoping and praying that you win in the playoffs? This feels like the Predators are finally coming, as I've said multiple times, coming to grips with the reality of their situation. This is not some half, you know, half in, half out kind of measure. This is, we're selling, we're making a change at an important position for the first time in our history, and we're taking a step back, not a half step back, and where we maybe make the playoffs. Like, it looks like they're taking a full step back where they're expecting to potentially miss the playoffs for a couple of years.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Paul, who wants to weigh in. Paul, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to ask you both to speculate, because I know there's no way you can know the answer to this question, but I'm baffled. How does this Janot trade occur? Is this Poile calling Tampa Bay and saying, "I'm retiring today, like, help me go out on a high note, look good, I swallowed the McDonough contract, help me out"? Or is this Poile putting his proverbial middle finger up at all of Fred's Twitter by retiring and then making the trade of the absolute century? Or do I personally not understand Tanner Janot's value? Well, I don't get this. I'm blown away, but I don't get it.
Well, you're not alone. Thanks for the call,
Paul. I saw a tweet from Stephen Ellis, who I believe works for Daily Faceoff. And he said this was a quote. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it was a quote from a scout who texted him about the Janot trade. And the quote was, "What the actual F?"
Yeah.
Like, that is what people have been saying about the Janot trade.
So, well, Frank Saravalli put it out there last night that he talked to a few GMs and their jaws were on the floor about the return the Predators got for Tanner Janot.
Right. When you look, like, specifically with Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay, this has been their MO for the past several years as they've won multiple championships and fell short of a third, is finding those depth additions and paying whatever it takes to get them.
Yep.
You know, I would have to go back and look, but I'm sure people thought the Lightning overpaid for Blake Coleman. I'm sure they thought they overpaid for Brandon Hagel or Barclay Goodrow. But guess what? Those guys have helped this team win.
Yep.
And they think Janot is that guy. And the value of Tanner Janot is that he's on an incredibly cheap contract. He's a restricted free agent. I think his qualifying offer is like $750,000. So if they don't come to terms with a long-term deal, they can lock him into that qualifying offer, have him, you know, at league minimum, basically. When you have Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, Andre Vasilevsky, Braden Point, yada, 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 you don't need to go get a superstar. You have plenty of them. You need the players to supplement them. And credit to the Lightning, they have shown over the past few years that they have an eye for finding those players.
Well, and they're all in. They do not care about their draft picks
they
right now.
Their first draft pick this year is in the sixth round.
Yeah. I mean, they do not give a crap about their draft picks right now, which, look, if I had that team.
I wouldn't either. Because they've made great draft picks. Because all of those guys were draft picks. Stamkos, Hedman, yep. Kucherov, Point, Vasilevsky, those were all draft picks. You know, the moves they make, they bring in guys like all the guys I mentioned. They bring in Patrick Maroon. They bring in Nick Paul. They bring in those veteran depth guys. I mean, they have Corey Perry. They bring in those guys. That they are really good at finding those guys. And Tanner Jeannot clearly caught their eye.
Well, and there's no question about it. It's a great return for the Predators.
For sure.
You're talking about five draft picks. And a young defenseman that's a former first-round pick that we'll see what he is. But, I mean, that's six assets that you've recouped in one trade from an undrafted player that you took. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I've never seen a deal quite like that one last night with Tanner Jeannot. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Kalen. Kalen, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, guys, I'm just curious. So if we're getting this for Jeannot, what in the world are we asking for Ekholm, if Ekholm's even on the market for us?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks for calling him. Hey, look, Pierre LeBrun put it out there last week that, you know, maybe the asking price was as high as two first-round picks for Matthias Ekholm. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it's a different situation because Jeannot is younger, he's an RFA, he's cheaper, and with the flat cap being what it is, teams just don't have a whole lot of cap room. So to your point earlier in the show, Adam, you don't see guys with a lot of term left on their contract dealt very often at the trade deadline. And Ekholm has a lot of term
at
a hefty
this.
Price at $6.25 million cap hit, you know, left on his deal. So would I be shocked if he was moved by Friday? No, but I do think that not all prices are created equal, especially when you start to factor in the contracts there. Like the Predators, if they trade Matthias Ekholm, they're not getting five draft picks back for him.
No.
Now, they may get a first rounder.
Right.
And they may get a first rounder and another pick. I don't know. But they're not getting five draft picks for Matthias Ekholm.
No. I mean, it's hard to compare because, as you laid it out perfectly, different positions, much different ages, much different contractual situations. So, you know, the Predators, pardon the pun here, caught lightning in the bottle by having Jeannot available and getting the return that they did. Absolute insanity. And look, the Lightning are going to, and they have already sort of, I wouldn't say taken criticism, but there have been a lot of questions about, like, what were they thinking?
Right.
But as I just laid out, they have a pretty good track record of making these moves. So I will trust them in this situation. So, yeah, I don't see Ekholm. I can't say, well, because Tanner Jeannot got this, Matthias Ekholm's going to get that. I don't think you can compare the two. I agree with you. I think it's less likely that he gets moved at the deadline unless something, you know, pops up in the next few days. But, you know, if they do move him, I'm sure they will get a premium asset. I don't think they're going to get the quantity
right.
of assets that they got for Tanner Jeannot.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the Preds discussion coming up next. What does this mean for the Predators moving forward, and how do we view David Poile in all this? What is the David Poile side of this story as well? We'll get Adam's thoughts on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I gotta stay. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. I got some tickets to give away to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on April 15th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs coming up at Nissan Stadium on April 15th.
Not 3-6 Mafia?
They could be there. I have no idea.
Maybe.
Be a combo.
Nick was trying to test me with my music knowledge. Get out of here with that.
615-737-1025. Also, make sure you check out Nashville's Best Deal. This week, it's 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. So the David Poyle part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's the only general manager the Predators have ever had. He has – look, it's interesting because I've been here the whole time and watched David Poyle's tenure here. You know, the first part of his tenure as a general manager, I thought he did a remarkable job given the financial constraints of the ownership group. Mm-hmm. He made the team competitive. Barry Trotz was a part of that too. And it, to me, it really wasn't until around, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, when the new ownership group came in and Sean Henry and Jeff Cogan came in, where the franchise started to change a little bit financially, and he was, you know, kind of taking the handcuffs off of David Poyle, where he really got to operate. And then, of course, you get to, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the heyday of the Predators franchise to this point. I mean, David Poyle could do no wrong in this town. He was making the right moves. He made the Seth Jones, Ryan Johansson move, the Philip Forsberg move for Martin Erat. I mean, P.K. Subban, Shea Weber. They got to the Stanley Cup Final.
Don't forget James Neal.
James Neal was in there. I mean, look, he made a lot of really good moves, and that opened the window for them to make the run to the Cup Final and to win the President's Trophy the year after that. And then he tried to build on it, which all teams try to do, and it didn't work. It backfired, and the tourist trade – you know, the Granlund-Fiala trade. I mean, we can go up and down the list of trades they've made over the course of the past 5 years and signings that haven't worked out. So I say all that to say I think the David Poyle discussion, obviously it has not gone well the last couple of years. And the fan base, I think a lot of the fan base had reached the point where they were done with it and they were ready to see somebody else come in as the general manager. I do think that that discussion has clouded some of what the overall tenure has looked like. Like, I think David Poyle has done a really good job as Predators general manager when you factor in the totality of the picture, and it's not gone well the last few years, and it's probably time for a change. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. And now you've got Barry Trotz coming in, and he's going to be that change. So having said all that, given the fact that David Poyle has been here for a quarter of a century in charge of this team, how should David Poyle be remembered as general manager? How will David Poyle be remembered as general manager of the Predators?
I think it's complicated just because of everything you said. So let's just lay out the facts. David Poyle is the winningest general manager in NHL history, just in terms of regular season wins. I believe he also might be the winningest like in terms of playoff wins too. I don't know. Either way, point being, There is something to be said about the longevity that David Poyle has had, not just here, but in Washington as well. As I said, he has been a general manager for 40 consecutive years. That can't be overlooked. But I do think that the fact that he only took one team to a Stanley Cup final here and in Washington, he has taken a team to the postseason 29 times. He has taken a team to the Stanley Cup final once, and I believe he has taken a team to the conference finals twice. So, to your point, there were some times, especially early on here when the Predators made the playoffs, that they were operating on a shoestring budget and they, you know, weren't necessarily a contender. But I don't think you can talk about David Poyle and all of the winning he's done in the regular season without mentioning the fact that he never won a Stanley Cup. You know, there have been, you know, you would think that if you make the playoffs 29 times, that one time, at least one time, you would strike gold. And I do think that I joked about this with you earlier, that that David Poyle's decision to retire is the most universally praised move he has made in a while. That is just how people have felt about David Poyle recently. And I do think that if he had held on longer, that he was at risk of tarnishing his legacy in town. I think he is getting out at the exact right time, not just for the team, but for himself.
Yeah.
And I think you can appreciate everything David Poyle has done for this city, for turning Nashville into a fully fledged hockey market and then helping to create indelible memories. But I think you can also accept that he hasn't been as good in recent years and building championship teams. And those decisions have left the Predators in a place where they need to take a step back in order to get back on track. So I think both things can be true, which is why I think he leaves behind a little bit of a complicated legacy.
Well, and now it's Barry Trotz's job to pick up on that legacy. And they've got a press conference coming up later today at Bridgestone Arena at 11 o'clock. David Poile will be there. Barry Trotz will be there. Sean Henry will be there. And we'll be carrying that for you live here on 102.5 The Game. So looking forward to that coming up at 11 o'clock. I'm really interested to see what Poile has to say about it today, what Barry Trotz has to say about it today, and what does this mean for the future of John Hines, right? I mean, Trotz has had some interesting comments to that effect in the Tennessean that they come out with when an exclusive interview. And, you know, basically he says, you know, you're going to evaluate the coaching staff. It's all about the right culture and making sure you got the right culture in place. And is this the right coaching staff to establish that culture that Barry Trotz wants to have as they move forward here? He didn't commit really either way to John Hines and the coaching staff moving forward, which is what you expect from a new general manager coming into the job. But I think this could be a really interesting press conference today between the Predators with Poile, Trotz, and Sean Henry up there. You know, how many more moves will we see from the Predators this week? With a couple of moves being made over the weekend, the deadline's coming up on Friday, so this is going to be a busy week in the NHL. This is the most interesting weekend the Predators have had in the history of their franchise. I'll put it that way. I mean, look, I know they've been on playoff runs, and you know, obviously they've gone to Stanley Cup final, but just one weekend, they've never had a weekend like they just had, and it was pretty incredible to watch. And I don't think it's over. Like I think we're going to see a few more things happen this week, and I'm interested to see what those are.
Yeah, it figures to be a really interesting week. It already is off to a great start in terms of the intrigue that it's building. I will be listening to the news conference of David Poile and Barry Trotz, which again starts at 11 o'clock. You can listen to it here. Chase and Michelle are stationed live at Bridgestone Arena to set you up for that for the next couple of hours, so make sure to tune in for that. There are a lot of lingering questions to be answered, and maybe we'll start getting some answers this morning.
Well, maybe so. And in the meantime, if you're a player on this team right now, I mean, they played the game last night. They won 6-2 in Arizona, and you're looking around, and Niederreiter's been traded this weekend. Tanner Jeannot has been traded this weekend. And now, if you're a veteran guy, if you're a Matt Duchene or a Roman Josi or a Ryan McDonough, Matias Ekholm, whatever it is, it's got to be an interesting week for them looking around and saying, all right, well, what's going on here? And who's going to be on the team? Who's not going to be on the team at the end of this week? And what direction does Barry Trotz and the Predators want to go? One thing's for sure, I mean, this was a monumental weekend in the history of the Predators franchise. And a lot of people have been waiting on changes to be made. And the Predators made those changes over the weekend. They've traded off some players. They look like they're in sell mode. They look like they're open for business. And they're making some changes at the general manager spot. What does this mean for John Hines? I'm not sure. But anytime you start changing general managers, a lot of times a head coaching change follows after that as well. So interesting times for sure with the Predators. And we'll have you covered all day on that front here on the show. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.